The time is 6:03 and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio. Up next is Prison Pipeline. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Redirect Guide, committed to promoting progressive regional businesses based upon the values of sustainability, localism, and social justice. Complete business directory and resource guide can be found online at redirectguide.com.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are
good evening. This is Peter Pincel for Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. Welcome to another excellent edition. I'm here tonight with the entire collective. Myself, Karen James, Adam Carpinelli, Stephanie Guy, and Justin Chapin. We have a couple of new members this evening, and we're going to give them an opportunity to quickly introduce themselves right now. Justin, could you take it away and give us a couple seconds on yourself?
Yeah, my name is Justin Chapin, 26, went to school for economics. I just got here end of the summer, having a good time. I like Portland. I actually came from Portland, Maine. It's amazing how similar the two are. Tell that to everybody.
We know which one's better.
Well, don't tell me that. No, I'm just here making a difference, having some fun on the radio, and bringing some good information to people who listen to KBOO.
Thank you. How about you, Stephanie?
So my name is Stephanie Guy. I graduated from Lewis and Clark College here in Portland in 2012, got my degree in sociology and anthropology, and from that I started getting interested in journalism, specifically radio journalism. So I just came over to KBOO, took a volunteer orientation, and found that Prison Pipeline was looking for members. And since I've always had a general interest in the justice system, I decided to check it out. And that's what's so great about KBOO, is anyone can join.
Well, welcome, Stephanie. It's great to see you. And Adam, how about yourself?
Good evening, folks. My name is Adam Carpinelli. I hail actually from Northern Virginia. I am guilty of being an East Coast transplant and been in Portland since about the late 90s. With a short hiatus between there. But I consider myself a born-again Portlander and love Portland and KBOO as well, and really super stoked to be a part of the Prison Pipeline Collective. My initial background working with the show actually was with Ruth Kovacs, and I used to get interviewed by Ruth on many occasions talking about different issues related to U.S.-held political prisoners and prisoners of war. With a lot of my activism as the Northwest Regional Organizer for the Jericho Amnesty Movement, we work around political prisoners. We'll talk a lot more about that later, as well as Leonard Peltier Defense Offense Committee, other organizations, Portland Anarchist Black Cross, Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, and the Industrial Workers of the World Portland Chapter's General Defense Committee, and so on and so forth. So thanks for having me.
All right. It's great to have you all at the table, bringing a wealth of experience and a wealth of passion. Before we go into our first fundraising break, we're going to be hearing a poem from Stephanie.
Okay, so I'm going to read this poem from the Prisoners Poetry Program that allows students and community members to interact with prisoners in the Oregon State Penitentiary through providing a creative outlet for personal growth. Their website is prisonerspoetry.wordpress.com. This one is by one of the inmates, R. Miranda. It's called Pretend. I live in a world that's hard to comprehend, where the nightmares that I have are real. I wish they were pretend. Sometimes I wake to screaming and wonder where's the source. Then sadly soon I realize that it's only me, of course. If only I could stop these demons in my head. If only sleep was welcome and not a fearful dread. I pace the cold hard floor, four steps up, then back. I hear the chilling sound of gates and shudder as they clack. The animal within this cage I've built inside of me struggles with itself. I hunger to be free. And yet sometimes I wonder if it's better to be here, the world outside these walls so distant yet so near. I wish I could escape these thoughts running rampant in my head, if only sleep was welcome and not a fearful dread. The guilt and yes, the sorrow abundantly abound, holding back the tears, it's a skill I haven't found. The morning soon is broken by the sounding of a bell. It screams so loud and long, it makes me want to yell. If only sleep was welcome, I'd brood in bed a while, but frantically I search and find the mask that has the smile. I hold it to my face and it's carefully applied. I must admit it does quite well to hide the tears I've cried. Next I pick the body, the one that's big and strong, for the burdens of my shame grow heavy before too long. Now parting from my cage in that confidential stride, all traces are removed of the frightened boy inside. As my day progresses, the others come and go, their perfect played rehearsal as if I didn't know. It's said that prison holds such mean and hardened men. I wonder if that's really true. Perhaps it's just pretend.
Stephanie, thank you. The feeling comes through in those words. We're about to segue to our first break. Justin, do you want to chime in?
Yeah, that was a beautiful poem. Poetry is something that brings out the meaning underneath a lot of experiences that we go through, and being in prison is a very intense experience and something that can touch you very deeply. And we're fundraising this week, and we'll kick it off.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and thank you so much for tuning in. We have a live program in the studio today, a full hour of Prison Pipeline, not to be confused with the school to prison pipeline, but it's a pipeline actually to prisoner issues. And we just heard some poetry that was shared with us, and it's a very important effort that's done.
That is so true. Reggae Bob here with Sister
Meredith.
Mr. Meredith here, and the Prison Pipeline has been on KBOO Radio for over 20 years. It is one of our very important shows here, which lends a voice and advocacy and letting people know a lot of prisoner issues and prisoner rights. And there's definitely a lot of prisoners' wrongs going on, and we let people know about that here on KBOO.
And that's one of the main reasons to support us, is that this is non-commercial, non-corporate radio that you're only going to hear from a member-sponsored, community-based radio station. And there, we do have some goodies for calling us up at 877-500-5266. One of those is a long-distance revolutionary, a film about Mumia Abu-Jamal, for a $60 minimum pledge. If you call 877-500-5266, you'll be able to get a copy of that.
You know, $60 minimum pledge is only $5 a month. That's easy to do.
That's not too bad. That's easy like an expensive cup of coffee right there.
Yeah, exactly. Just once a month. Hey, you got KBOO, got the movie about Mumia Abu-Jamal. Okay, also we have some other promotional things for us to share with you. We have the KBOO audio flash drive, and this thing is amazing. It's a for a $75 minimum pledge, which is only, you know, $6.25 a month. And on this flash drive, we have a 1969 interview with Pete Seeger, who just recently passed. We miss him already, but he's on this flash drive. We have Saving Main Street from Wall Street. We have gay press issues on there, a 12-program series on the KBOO history. KBOO history is on this flash drive for only $6.25 a month.
Right, so call us now at 877-500-5266. In addition to the amazing volunteers that are bringing you this programming, we also have volunteers here in the studio waiting to take that call. They're giving up their evening in order to support KBOO and community radio. Please go online, kboo.fm.
We need you. We need you. You are us. We are you. And we've been doing this for a long time. And we're going to continue doing it. And hopefully we'll get the amount of money that we need. Plus, we like the plus. Please make the phones ring. Put your name on. Put your name on it. Put your money on it.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And you can sign up in a lot of different ways. You can also sign up via the website.
Yes.
So you don't have to, if you're driving right now, be safe.
Yes, please.
You don't need a call. Just wait till you get home and go to kboo.fm. But we like to hear those phones ring too.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And is that Reggae Bob back there, I hear? Thank you so much, Reggae Bob, for pitching for Prison Pipeline tonight. Great to have you both back there on our team. And we hope you do call in and support Prison Pipeline tonight. I want to give a shout out to a few organizations that are working for prison reform here in the Portland area. One is the Partnership for Safety and Justice. And they have several programs that promote safe and sensible sentencing and alternatives to incarceration. They work with crime survivors and youth justice programs. And of course, their legislative work, they worked so hard last year to get House Bill 3194 passed. So you can sign up for Partnership for Safety and Justice action alerts on their website, www.safetyandjustice.org. Another organization is Oregon CURE, and CURE provides support and publications to help families and friends navigate the Oregon prison system. They have monthly intake orientation meetings. They partner with the Department of Corrections. And so if you have questions as your loved one goes to prison, and as your loved one is releasing from prison, they have release orientations. They have monthly support groups around the state where you can go and find out about, you know, telephone, visiting, what to wear when you're going into the prison, different things like that. So OregonCure.org, a wonderful organization. And a shout out to Gretchen Valla and her team. Another one, a new kid on the block is the Oregon Innocence Project, and that is launching in April of 2014. And Oregon is the only state in the country that does not have an Innocence Project or a similar program. So the Oregon Innocence Project will be working to exonerate the innocent, educate and train law students, and promote legal reforms aimed at preventing wrongful convictions. So that will be OregonInnocence.org. And I'm going to pass this over to Adam. Adam, you want to talk about Oregon Jericho and really, some of the work you're doing?
And really quickly, this has been Karen James. She's a co-host. Now, Adam, please.
Sure, yeah. One thing I'd like to address first is talking about a few prisoners who are incarcerated in New York and Alabama. And the three of them are coming up for parole very soon. To get more information about them and to sign the online petitions, you can go to thejerichomovement.com. And that is a national organization that we work with, working around political prisoner amnesty. Many of these folks are also considered themselves prisoners of war. The three folks that I'd like to mention briefly, that are coming up for parole is Jalil Muntakim. He is a new African Black Liberation Army Black Panther who was captured in the early 1970s, and he was 19 years old when that happened. He's come up for parole several times. He was part of a case called the New York Three, which there's even a movie about that. He was also initially called upon a grand jury where everybody resisted for the San Francisco 8 case, if anybody's familiar with that too. He's coming up for parole soon. Please sign the petitions. They're all online. Again, like I mentioned on the website, thejerichomovement.com. The second prisoner, also in upstate New York, is Mr. Robert Seth Hayes. He's been incarcerated since 1973, also for his involvement with the Black Panther Party and Black Liberation Army. Both of these gentlemen are victims of the COINTELPRO programs, these counterintelligence programs that were initiated by Hoover and the FBI that were deemed illegal in the Church Senate hearings in 1975. And there's been no redress about any of these cases at all, other than the fact that many of these people are still languishing in prison. The third person to mention is Sekou Kambui, and he's in Alabama, and so he's up for a parole hearing very soon as well. So sign these petitions. TheJerichoMovement.com is where you can find all these links to the online petitions. Sign them, tell people about it. get involved as much as you can. Our chapter here in Portland is Oregon Jericho, and you can also find that information up on that website too. But go to thejerichomovement.com to check all this stuff out. One other quick mention here is some February birthdays. You can find all the same information up on the website when you go to the prisoners link on the Jericho Movement website. And so we have Veronza Bowers. His birthday is on, we missed it, it was on the 4th. Kamal Siddiqui's birthday is on the 19th. Albert Woodfox from the Angola 3, his birthday is on the 19th. And also Osso Blanco, also known as Byron Chain Shubbick, his birthday is on February 26th. The next political prisoner letter writing night will be at the Red and Black Cafe. As a matter of fact, this Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m., we had to put it off because of all this snowpocalypse kind of skylarkings. So that's it for now. We have plenty of other updates.
And Adam, could you talk a little bit about the prisoner writing nights?
Sure. Just show up to the Red and Black from 7 to 9 p.m. We're normally doing it the first Thursday of the month. All the materials are provided that you would need to write to prisoners. If you've never written to anybody inside, this is a great way to do it because you're around people that have done that. There's a lot of literature, not only on the prisoners, but definitely handouts as well, and people that are very knowledgeable about how to write prisoners, what to say, what not to say, and how to get more involved, especially in the cases for these political prisoners, for actually seeking their amnesty.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Let's hear from Justin really quickly on some news.
Thank you. It's very important to hear about the stories and the people who are inside the walls. To those of us outside, it's hard to get a personal perspective on what's going on, and it's hard to be touched when you don't see it every day. It's not in your face.
All right, thank you very much, and let's move back to the fundraising efforts.
Dun, 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 dun. We are here, Reggae Bob with Meredith, and we've got one call in so far on the phone. There must be one phone call equals 10 memberships on the website. So that's just
oh,
cool.
I like that.
That's
I like
just
those
cool.
numbers.
One plus ten. Yes, indeed. Meredith, what got you into doing KBOO and helping pitch and doing things to keep us on the air?
Oh, wow. Well, normally right now, Labor Radio would be playing, and that's actually a show that I work on. And so doing activism around workers' rights, like what the teachers are going through in Portland right now.
That's why we recognize your voice.
Yeah,
radio.
My main passion, for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
And hearing Prison Pipeline get a full hour special this time is really excellent. That's what I like about the membership drives. It's so hard to fit the content that you need into a half an hour public affairs programming slot. But I think that it's important that not just Labor Radio, Prison Pipeline, and you know, there's a common thread here in that it's in some people's interest to keep these voices silent.
Mm.
And so we're mm-hmm. all about creating a space where we can challenge those corporate voices.
Amen, amen. I remember Prison Pipeline, when I used to have the show for a couple of months, that it was around Christmas time one year, and we did Christmas calls that people can call in to KBOO Radio and give best wishes and holiday wishes to their loved mates and their family members that were incarcerated. And that was, you know, I get chills on the back about it, knowing that we had the power to do that. And I myself and a couple of other KBOO members, we go down to different prisons in the state of Oregon around the year. I'm supposed to be going down to OSP tomorrow, but the program might have fallen through. But that's the things we do here. We want to keep people's spirits up. I mean, the people are on lockdown, but still, you haven't forgot about you. Your families haven't forgot about you. KBOO hasn't forgot about you.
That's right. So call us and be part of this community, 877-500-5266, because it is about more than what goes on the air. It's about what streams over the internet, where you can find full and uncensored programs that you can't hear on the air. But on the air, you can hear many voices that you won't hear anywhere else, not on your radio and certainly not on your television.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to remind people as well about this Mamiya Abu-Jamal documentary, that if you call in right now for $5 a month, that's $60 a year minimum mm-hmm. pledge, you can get this copy of Long Distance Revolutionary, just to tie into the subject matter at hand. But a lot of people like KBOO because of the breadth of material there is as well, whether you like hearing the alternative news, Democracy Now!, Prison Pipeline. A lot of people, I know myself included in the car, I like to hear all of it throughout the day.
Yes.
And so I think one thing that a lot of us have done is donated to KBOO in the past, and for that we're so happy.
Yes.
But that donation a few years ago isn't enough to sustain the station today.
It's gone,
today.
Baby. That's been gone.
We're frugal. We spend the money well. I mean, most people are volunteers here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, if it's been a while, if you enjoy programming like Prison Pipeline and you don't want it to be bought out by the corporate media, then you need to call us at 877-500-5266 and whatever you can do to contribute to the cause.
Yes, you were renewing members, welcoming back the former members. Yeah, it was good when you did it once, you know, back in 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 16 years ago. We're still here, and we still need funds to keep things going. We are working on a shoestring. I know about five different people that work here, volunteer here, with holes in their shoes, because they got the money to pay for shoes. But they come down here and put in their hard work and sweat, and we get KBOO running. We keep it going. Another premium that we have here is Yes Magazine. And Yes Magazine is a quarterly magazine published by the Positive Futures Network and invites readers to be a part of the global community of change makers. And Yes Magazine is only a $60 minimum pledge, which is, again, only $5 a month.
You know, we've got a few thank yous as well. First, big thank you to Lisa from Washington, who is a new supporter of KBOO, which we always love to hear, as well as some staples of people who supply food for volunteers. We just want to thank them as well. Katie O'Brien's.
Katie.
That's 2809 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Yay. Roy Thai Cuisine. That's 506 Southwest 4th Avenue.
Thai food downtown.
And Corbett Fish House, which I had some of, at 5901 Southwest Corbett
Thank
Avenue,
you, Corbett
and
Fish
it gives
House.
You the calories you need to go on air and to keep going strong for KBOO.
Lubricate
so
them
us.
Joints to keep us rolling, yes.
That's right, 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM.
And don't think that your gift doesn't make a difference. Every little bit counts. Every little bit counts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, stamps, just to mail out information to people who don't have the internet, who don't have other ways of listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so we're going to be hearing some excellent music in just 1 second here. But before we hear that, I want to introduce what I'm going to be talking to a little bit. This is Peter Pincel, co-host for several years now. The two biggest factors to successful reentry, reintegration after involvement in the justice system are housing and employment. And I don't think that I'm surprising anyone when I say that. One of the biggest obstacles to finding employment that I've seen for individuals with criminal backgrounds is that they don't even apply. It's a major psychological obstacle, and in fact, we've seen it on the show. We'll get back to that in just one moment. Let's quickly hear a musical interlude from Merle Haggard.
I'd like to hold my be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. When they let me out of prison, I held my head up high, determined I would rise above the shame. But no matter where I travel, the black mark follows me. I'm branded with a number on my name. I'd like to hold my head up and be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold.
And welcome back. Before I launch into what I'm talking about, I want to point out that we're in the middle of the funding drive, and the little snafu we just had was directly related to equipment issues here. You can prevent these future equipment issues by donating to KBOO tonight. can call the phone number, which the fundraisers will give to you in just 1 second, or visit our website and click on the tip jar in the top right corner and make that donation. Back to reentry and employment. As we heard from Merle Haggard just then, the justice system offers a black mark that scars people for life. It is a life sentence. And oftentimes, the biggest obstacle to gaining employment for people with criminal convictions is that they're prevented from even applying by the psychological obstacle that is that question: have you ever been convicted of a felony? And you're required to check the box. Honesty is the best policy. But I have seen people get jobs every single day with criminal convictions because they do the next right thing in the job search. How many employers ask the question these days? How many run criminal background checks? The answer is nearly all of them. But the unemployment rate of people with criminal convictions is not 100%. It's not even close. So what's going on here? The answer is that just because a company runs a criminal background check does not mean that a criminal background check automatically disqualifies you from employment. Any smart HR person or hiring manager or small business owner that you ask is going to tell you that they employ people on a case-by-case basis. And this is because the Equal Opportunities of Employment Commission, the federal body, has recently ruled that discriminating because of a criminal background is illegal. It's discrimination. And this is because of the overrepresentation of minorities in the justice system. So discriminating against someone based on their criminal conviction, in fact, looks like discriminating against someone based on their race. And as we know here in America, that is illegal. That's not to say that the employment process, the job search process, is not discriminatory. Because HR managers are still able to turn people down based on their criminal conviction if they can show that it directly relates to the job that they have available. They may turn people down for person-to-person crimes. They may turn people down for sex crimes. They may turn people down for arson. But it's really hard to know without applying what the company's policy actually is. Well, what about a felony-friendly list? Do you have one? If so, who gave it to you? Those change so often that it is laughable. Who wants to be known as felony-friendly anyway? Any employer that's willing to give a second chance is a second-chance employer, not a felony-friendly employer. And you can't trust a list of one of those. Every employer has the opportunity to be a second-chance employer, and we need to give them that chance. Does that sound like hard work? The job search is hard work. Until you're employed, the job search is your full-time job. And don't think that having one or two applications in that you're waiting for a call on will cover it, because you have a good feeling, and if you think that's enough. In this economy, employers are getting so many applicants that they will pick whoever is working hardest for getting the next job. The next guy may not be sitting around waiting to get that call from them. He may be calling them. It's hard work, but I know there's a lot of hard workers out there still looking for work, and now it's time to show it. For those of you who are listening, who are looking for work, it's important to look hard, but it's also important to look smart. And what I'm talking about is the anything job. The anything job is what many job seekers feel like they want or need right now. I'll take anything. I'm going to quote a recruiter from a staffing service that I know. When someone tells me that they want anything, they're basically telling me that they have absolutely no idea what they're doing. There are many sorts of anything jobs, and the more focused you make your job search, the more likely it is that you'll get the job that you want to apply to and you want to keep. This is for two reasons. One, everyone wants an anything job. You, the guy that just graduated high school, the 60-year-old with decades of experience who just got laid off. The point is, you're competing with a lot of people for the anything job. And you can bet that a lot of them don't have criminal backgrounds. So they're tough competition. Two, the anything job
can really suck. I'm talking telemarketing or fast food, door-to-door sales, or holding a sign and dancing out on 82nd to advertise the next cell phone sale. These jobs can work for some people and not for others. You may get $9.10 an hour for a couple weeks, but you're going to hate the work that you're doing, and you'll probably quit. And then you're probably worse off than you were before. So what should you do? Look for that job where you have the talents, skills, and abilities that will set you apart from the competition. Anything you've worked at in the past, even if you've worked while you were in prison. Or how about transferable skills? Do I have any salespeople out there? These are skills you can use on the job. If you absolutely can't think of any skills that you have, then you're starting from ground zero, but you've got to start somewhere. Make it something that you'll enjoy. Maybe you like working with your hands. Maybe you like talking with people. No matter what, there is something out there that you'll like doing and that you can set yourself apart in. And choosing that thing will put you on the path to success. Consider sitting down and writing down a couple things that will help you to focus your job search, and that will put you on the right path. So, overcome the psychological obstacle of the question, have you ever been convicted of a felony? Put in the job applications. You can't score a goal without taking a shot. And focus your job search. Two factors towards your success in employment.
Hi, this is Stephanie, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a documentary that really refueled my interest in the justice system. It's called The House I Live In, directed by Eugene Jarecki. This is taken from their website, thehouseilivein.org. Over 40 years, the war on drugs has accounted for more than 45 million arrests, made America the world's largest jailer, and damaged poor communities at home and abroad. Yet for all that, drugs are cheaper, purer, and more available today than ever before. What I really like about this film is that it takes a very personal look at the drug war, interviewing people at all levels and on both sides, meaning law enforcement on one side and those selling and using drugs and their families on the other. And it takes a critical look at the human rights implications of drug laws, how those laws are carried out, and who they are affecting. It becomes clear as the film progresses that nearly everyone involved in the drug war, no matter which side they're on, realizes that the system is flawed, that it ends up doing more harm than good. For instance, because of mandatory minimum sentencing laws, which in the case of drug laws require judges to sentence a certain number of years in prison for possession of a certain amount of a drug, people are being burdened with long prison sentences for nonviolent crimes. As one of the prison guards says, it's almost as if they're paying for our fear instead of paying for their crime. One part of the film that I found very interesting was when they go into the history of the drug laws in the U.S. in order to make the point that drug laws have always been associated with race. In the 1800s, certain drugs were widely used and actually ingredients in many different medicines. People who became addicted were viewed sympathetically as needing to be helped. So drug addiction was treated as a public health issue, not a crime. But then changes in drug laws began to happen when different minority groups were criticized with taking jobs away from working class whites who felt their livelihoods were being threatened. These minorities then became associated with a certain drug, which made it easy to lock them up legally if the drug was made, if the use and selling of that drug was made illegal. This has led to the troubling statistic today that 90% of crack cocaine users in the federal system are African American, even though white people actually use crack more often. The film also touches on the economy that is driving the drug war and the financial interests that many big companies have in keeping the system going. Because these companies who sell their product to private prisons and communities in which these private prisons are located are so deeply invested, it makes it difficult to imagine an end to the drug war. One of the prison guards called it a self-fulfilling prophecy. You build a bed, they fill the bed. There's this need that's created to fill the prisons. And one of the people interviewed ends by saying, the political infrastructure is so tied to the status quo and concerned with the next election that it will not change. It's up to us. So, on their website, which again is thehouseilivein.org, they have what they call a screening toolkit, which has resources to help you plan out your own screening of the film. Or you can fill out their host a screening form to get their help in arranging a screening. They've been showing screenings across the country and some actually in correctional facilities. I know they screened a film at the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn a while back, and I had the great opportunity to go to their post-screening discussion where one of the producers was present and talked about the process of filming the documentary, and then each person in the group had the opportunity to talk about how they saw themselves in the film and what really stood out to them. Also, on their website, they have a Get Involved section and a place where you can type in your zip code and find out what's going on in your community to help end the drug war. I strongly recommend that you see this film. You can check it out at your local library, or if you have Netflix, you can find it there too.
Thank you, Stephanie. That was great. It'll be very interesting to see how it works out in Colorado and Washington and how that affects the prison population there. Prison Pipeline, the show brings us a lot of resources. It's not only for prisoners, but also for prisoners' families and those around them. We bring a lot of information to the table. A good example, too, there, how and where to get jobs after prison, and also different other informational sources that you can use. That's many reasons to donate. Thank you. And we're going to hand it out to the...
So quickly, we'll go back to the fundraisers.
That's us, the fundraisers.
That's us.
Yeah, Reggie Bob and Meredith here. My gosh, there's some serious issues going on there. It's so good that we're able to be here to speak about those. And I just read the name. Adam is one of the new members of the Prison Pipeline Collective. We got some heavy hitters that are joining KBOO more and more on a regular basis. And we keep strong people, now young people, each one reach one. You know, we got to replace us old folks with younger, stronger activists to keep this radio station going and keep the issues alive.
That's right. You know, I just found out that a couple people who have taken over management of KBOO.
I got to chill. I love it.
I mean, Mike Crenshaw and Monica from Sisters of the Road, their experience, you can hardly call them managers, right?
She's from Sisters of the Road?
Originally, I mean, they've got a lot of nonprofit background, and I think that's the right direction for a station that's really trying to get people involved.
You know, when I first heard it about a week or so ago about co-managers, I said, oh, come on. Well, KBOO, I love our station. What are we doing? I know what we're doing. Now that we got Mike Crenshaw and Melanie on the... If I got that, hope I get y'all together. We got Monica, sorry, Monica Beamer from Sisters of the Road. We're doing it right.
Yeah.
We're doing it right. And we're doing new things. We have new input, new energy, and it keeps us going. You know, that's how it keeps us going. KBOO, keep KBOO going. Come on.
That's right. I mean, and one of the features is the youth collective here at KBOO. I believe they put their programs on Wednesdays, but they're always around here meeting, producing things. I mean, these are the kinds of skills that unfortunately they don't have in the Portland public school system. But we give it to them for free, and we bring in people in the community who have those skills and more. So also teaching people how to record things live is another big aspect of
for
what KBOO does.
For free.
That's right. So call us at 877-500-5266.
Yes.
Does this sound like the kind of community-supported radio that you can get involved in? The kind of active, exciting,
yes,
youthful,
yes,
community radio that you can participate in? Then call us at 877-500-5266.
Yes, yes. Now, a lot of people have been socked in by the snow and hadn't listened to us for a while. I'm glad you're back listening to us. And I was going to say, we were with you all weekend long. We did. I guess we lost power for about 6 hours yesterday. But don't you worry. Our big bad dudes, Mike Johnson and Tom Hollywood Hood, they drove up there to that tower, climbed up, and did what they needed to do to get us back on air.
I mean, that's cool? DIY. That is really cool. That's DIY. Ooh. And that's how important it is for us to continue to bring you the programming that your $5, your $10, or your, you know, $2.74 a day.
Mm-hmm.
$2.74 a day.
Easy greasy.
You know, it's $1,000 a year. It's true. But that's the kind of commitment that so many people give into KBOO, from climbing up to the top of a tower in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yes, indeed. And we mentioned earlier about the flash drive. Call us up. We got lots of things for you.
And welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM.
This is Adam Carpinelli with another political prisoner update. First, want to give a shout out to Reggae Bob. What's up, Reggae Bob? Holding it down. He's been holding it down for a long time, so he gave a shout out to me, so I gotta repay him back on that one. Recent political prisoner updates here. There was a sentencing that happened on Monday, January 27th, with federal judge Ann Eichen sentencing Earth Liberation political prisoner Rebecca Rubin to 5 years in prison. If you're not familiar with her case, Rebecca Rubin was part of Earth Liberation Front cell that planned four particular arson cases. There was an eventual $12 million fire that destroyed a ski resort under construction in Vail, Colorado. That was in 1998. She turned herself into the FBI at the Washington-Canada border in late 2012. Prosecutors really refused to give any names of other participants in her crime. They argued a 7.5-year sentence, quote-unquote, would send a strong message to new would-be domestic terrorists and leftover advocates that crimes of violence and years of hiding simply don't pay. Rebecca went into hiding in 2006, actually, when she had learned that she'd been charged not only with these offenses, but again, you know, this is a post-9/11 case at that point where she saw herself literally on the news being compared to people like Osama bin Laden and so on and so forth. So she went under underground, which of course took a toll on her as well, and she decided to turn herself in. Eichen was able to use this particular sentencing to give a kind of a long-winded speech that I thought would be worth mentioning. I was at the sentencing and talking about basically, you know, different books that Rebecca should be reading, and it was a very interesting hearing to actually be at and hear Eichen complaining about how in other cases with co-defendants of Rubin's that were part of the Earth Liberation Front cell, how, you know, her summer was wasted because she was going back and forth between the courthouse and her home. And it was very funny to hear a judge talking about that because, of course, it's like your job, right? But then complaining about this kind of stuff. So Rebecca Rubin now, again, it's a 5-year sentence, which is actually the lowest she could get because there were terrorism enhancements that were applied. So she'll be down in Dublin, California, for the next 5 years. And for those folks that are you know, here in Portland, obviously, go ahead and you can leave her a note or you can write her a letter while she's still here in Oregon before she leaves. She'll probably still be here for about a month or so. You can actually leave a little note for her if you stop by the Multnomah County Detention Center downtown, 1120 Southwest 3rd Avenue, and just tell her that, you know, you support her and, you know about the sentencing and stuff like that and, you know, kind of congratulations in that case. After that, she will be in Dublin and then that information will be out as far as writing to her and so on and so forth. Another thing just kind of worth mentioning as far as updates, unfortunately with the weather, there were a lot of people, including myself, that could not make it up to Tacoma, Washington for this year's 18th annual Clemency March and Rally for Leonard Peltier in Tacoma, Washington. We had a great interview with a representative from the organization a few weeks ago and talked a lot about Leonard's case. If you didn't get to hear that program and you're not very familiar with Leonard Peltier, and or even if you are, you will get a lot of new information because Sue, who we interviewed, knew Leonard before he was actually in prison. And she tells a great story of, you know, giving background about Leonard, about his innocence, about this very long-winded amnesty campaign that's been launched for Leonard for many, many years. And so we hope people continue to support him and really just, you know, decide to get involved. So if you want to hear the old program, this stuff's all linked up for the Prison Pipeline website, and you can, you know, download all the MP3s and what have you for that too. So, yeah.
That's Prison Pipeline. That's kboo.fm/prisonpipeline to hear this and all past episodes recorded and information about our show. Let's hear from Karen really quickly about some other news.
Well, talking about things on the federal level here, Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, announced in a speech just on Saturday night that the U.S. Justice Department is expanding protections for same-sex couples in every program with federal jurisdiction. And under the new policies, married same-sex partners will have expanded rights, including the right to avoid testimony that would incriminate a spouse, conjugal visits in prisons, and survivors' benefits for spouses. And on the downside, a bill was passed, the U.S. Senate passed the Farm Bill last week, and I believe it's still on the president's desk for his signature. And it sets policies for food stamps and farm programs. And the five-year bill would cut food stamps by around $800 million a year. And one of the prohibitions is that convicted sex offenders and murderers will not receive food stamps. So this is a very, very terrible policy passed by the Tea Party. Adam, you have...
Sure. Just to mention a few more prisoners that we should give a shout out to that have health problems. One of them is named Abdul Majid. And again, as I mentioned, if you go to the website for the JerichoMovement.com, you can find all the updates on these prisoners as well as their addresses and birthdays, so you can write to them. Majid has been debilitating pain and was unable to walk without any assistance due to an acute case of sciatica. This has been happening since about August now, and most recently it was reported that he couldn't even walk to the visiting room. And so there's been a few instances where we've asked people to call in, and that has made a difference. He's now being able to walk a little bit with a cane, and he's doing a little bit better. So we'll get back into it in a few minutes.
And now I think it is time to head back over to Pledge Central.
Yes, yes. Hello, Meredith.
Hi, Reggae Bob.
Hello, KBOO listeners. Hello, family. Thank you for being here. We only have a few more minutes to go. We are marching our way towards our goal, which is only $250 for this 1 hour. We can do it. I know we can do it.
Oh, we can do well over that. Absolutely. If you can contribute securely online at kboo.fm or call 877-500-5266. I know there are some lovely KBOO volunteers here who would love to hear from you. And I've just been sitting here listening to Prison Pipeline, but also perusing some of our great gifts for calling in and pledging. So if you pledge $75 over the course of the entire year, that you get the KBOO flash drive. Yes. And I'm looking at the stuff on this flash drive, and it's kind of incredible, from exclusive treasures from the archives like Stokely Carmichael in 1973, mm-hmm. Eldridge Cleaver in 1998,
yep.
So Vandana Shiva in 2011, Margaret Mead, 1968. The list goes on and on. And plus, one of my favorite performers is David Rovix, and he's actually given three full albums of his newly released songs right there onto the flash drive. And if you were at the teacher support rally last week, then you saw David Rovix performing in favor of the Portland Association of Teachers who voted to strike. So he contributes to KBOO, and I know for Labor Radio, he always lets me use his music to open us up. So we definitely appreciate that and a great amount of music. And you might say, oh, well, I can get David Rovick's music online and other places. But you know what? Can you get the quality? Mm-hmm. Can you get it and at the same time be supporting community radio?
Connected to KBOO. Get the connection with David Rovick's and KBOO. And also on the flash drive, like Margaret Mead from 1968, go back a little more. We got W.E.B. Du Bois, 1964, and Paul Robeson. Wow. 1957. That's amazing stuff. All on one flash drive there for only $6.25 a month. And I would like to do something like that. Don't forget, also, we have the Yes Magazine. It's a quarterly magazine from the Positive Futures Network, invites readers to be a part of the global community. So come on, be a part of KBOO. You know, if you can't remember that the last time you were a member, the membership contribution, well, it's probably been too long.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on back.
You should call us at 877-500-5266. Rejoin the KBOO community and rejoin more than 500 volunteers that work night and day to make this station run and to do more than just provide the radio, a lot more. And you also have the website. You can comment on things, that yes. links to blogs and other important information that you need to know, as well as trainings for people in the community, the sort of things that you don't get for free anywhere else. And the reason why we're able to do that is because of your generous contributions.
Generous.
You call us at 877-500-5266.
Or my favorite, www.kboo.fm. And we appreciate that. And you know, with all the new technology going on, Instagram, Meestagram, Ustagram, we got Facebook and been going on for a while. And I know I can't keep up with my Facebook. So we got a Facebook page. Who keeps up with, well, we must have a lot of people keeping up with our Facebook page.
That's right.
Do you know who it is?
Oh, well, I know I do. I just recently liked my own labor radio show on
KBOO. There you go. There you
and that's excellent. But actually, something that was really amazing as a resource that a lot of people don't realize is that if you go online, you can actually download whole episodes and more. And that's an incredible resource if you're an activist, if you're into music, to be able to just put a link on Facebook that takes you back to the KBOO webpage. And you know, but it takes IT people, it takes a lot of volunteers, it takes our reach into the community to actually get that content and to
He's
get
reaching
those connections.
Too, folks. The Meredith
I'm
is
literally
reaching
out through
right
the radio
yes.
to you,
yes.
asking you to call 877-500-5266, because if not right now, then when?
When?
And if not you, then who?
Who?
So we definitely want to hear
on.
You. Kate, in fact, you should definitely stop by. I know Reggae Bob and I will be here till at least 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, there's coffee, there's other things.
We got
there's
the hook
there's
up.
Good company. So
you,
you can stop by.
Cold
We're
outside.
On 8th Avenue, just south of Burnside.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, also for folks who, if you don't want to do it for yourself, you can be become a membership for somebody you know and love. I mean, it might be somebody that's incarcerated. It might be you want to give a gift to your parents or grandparents. Arlo Guthrie's coming to town, y'all. Arlo Guthrie.
Wow.
I know there's that dude. He sings that song, Alice's Restaurant. If you don't know who that is, Google that, then call back and get that two tickets. Arlo Guthrie's coming to Aladdin Theater.
Right. Call us at 877-500-5266. I've got some very lonely-looking volunteers over here, and they're enjoying some of the fine products from local restaurants, as we listed earlier. And we just, if you'd like to donate other things, labor in kind,
yes.
food, those sorts of things, swing on down to KBOO on 8th Avenue or call us 877-500-5266.
Thank you.
And we're back, and this is Karen again, and I want to remind everyone that the U.S. Department of Justice did come to Portland to investigate the Portland Police Bureau, and they did file a lawsuit, and the city, the coalition, and all involved adopted a settlement agreement that includes many positive changes that will address some of the issues discovered in the Department of Justice pattern and practice investigation. They did find that the Portland Police Bureau uses excessive force, especially when dealing with people who have or appear to have mental illness. And there is going to be a hearing on February 18th, but and to find out about this, you can go to the Albina Ministerial Coalition.org. That's Albina Ministerial Coalition.org. And they are having community forums around Portland, and there's one more before the February 18th hearing, and that will be held this Thursday, February 13th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Rosewood Community Center on 16126 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. And then everyone, we're urging everyone to get out to the hearing on February 18th. And the federal judge, Michael Simon, has set this fairness hearing to allow the community to weigh in on whether the agreement is fair, adequate, and reasonable. That begins at 9 a.m. on February 18th, and you can find out more information about that on the Albina Ministerial Coalition.org website.
Sure, thanks, Karen. You know, speaking of killer cops, there are plenty of abusive cops that are also working in the prison system, and especially when responding to prisoners who are on hunger strikes. And if anybody's familiar with the Menard hunger strikers, in Illinois. This happened on January 15th, 2014. Approximately 25 prisoners in administrative detention at Menard Correctional Center went on a hunger strike. The officer shook down their cells and took any food that they found. Hunger strikers were then sent to medical staff, charged $5 for medical treatment. And on the way back from seeing medical staff, one prisoner, said to be Armando Velasquez, was pushed onto stairs, of course, by an abusive cop, while in handcuffs. And so those officers then kicked and stomped on his back, picked him up, and then slammed his face into the plexiglass window on a door. One officer was sent home early that day, and prisoner Velasquez was moved to the healthcare unit, and the prisoners have not seen him since. And basically, according to Illinois Department of Corrections Director Tom Shears, on February 7th, he said that they apparently stopped taking in water yesterday, February 6th, and it takes 36 to 48 hours to that, which is pretty quick. So we'll admit to them the infirmary as well as precaution. So the inmates have some major points that they're addressing. This is kind of similar to the Pelican Bay prisoner hunger and work strike that happened in California last summer and also started in 2010. So we need to pay attention to this. And here we go, Reggae Bob.
All right, solid. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM. If you've listened to this and past Prison Pipeline episodes on kboo.fm/Prison Pipeline, like us on Facebook, Prison Pipeline. Thank you to our engineer, Danielle. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Good night, everyone.
Night, y'all.
Night. Good night.
Free them all.
Minutes after day took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing?
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it is Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned.
To celebrate Valentine's Day and Oregon's birthday, KBOO Community Radio will host a special day of news and public affairs programming. For Love of a Better World will be a 12-hour special focusing on the transformational place we find ourselves, solutions to get out of the muck, and the groups and individuals who are fighting the good fight. For Love of a Better World, KBOO's News and Public Affairs 12-Hour Special, February 14th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Folks, this is your girl Femi representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
And again, you're tuned to Hard Knock here on the Pacifica Network. As promised, enemies of the state, government surveillance, and communities of color. This talk was recorded October 24th of this year, held at Busboys and Poets. The panel was moderated by Professor Jared Ball of Morgan State University and features Daruba Bin Wahad, leader of the Black Panther Party, Adwa Masosi, representing Bill of Rights Defense Committee, Fahd Hamed, representing This Is Rising Up and Moving, Sister Seema, ACLU DC, and Alfredo Lopez, May First People Link. This conversation was hosted by Voices for Internet Freedom, a project of the Center for Media Justice and Free Press, audio courtesy of Media Mobilizing Project. Again, the conversation is Enemies of the State, Government Surveillance in Communities of Color. Stay tuned.
I want to introduce myself. My name is Steven Renderos. I'm the national organizer at the Center for Media Justice. We're an organization that's based out of Oakland, California. Basically, the work that we do, we believe that the right to communicate belongs to everyone. And the right to communicate and therefore transform our society belongs to everyone. I'm pleased to be co-hosting this event tonight, Enemies of the State, Government Surveillance in Communities of Color, along with Free Press. Collectively, we actually run a project called Voices for Inner Freedom, and I believe Joe is going to tell you a little bit more about that. But this event, which is really about highlighting the relationship between communities of color and government surveillance, and really detailing the full history, that this is a history that's been ongoing for a long time, is really part of a much larger discussion that's been happening more recently as a result of the revelations that the NSA has been engaging in unfettered domestic surveillance. We really needed to create an opportunity, or wanted to create an opportunity, for this discussion about how this issue impacts communities of color specifically. And it does, in very concrete in very real ways. We wanted to create a space for that discussion to happen, and we're happy that it's happening here tonight. This is part of a much larger set of events that's happening over the next few days that's culminating in a large rally here in Washington, D.C., called the Rally Against Mass Surveillance. It's being hosted by the Stop Watching Us Coalition, and a lot of the organizations in this room are part of those efforts. So I want to pass it to Joe, who's our co-host, but thank you all for being here tonight, and look forward to the discussion.
Yeah, thanks to everyone for being here. My name is Joseph Torres, and I work for the public interest group Free Press. I'm also a board member of the Center for Media Justice. Free Press, just a little bit about Free Press. Free Press, we're a public interest group that we fight for media and telecom policy to serve a public interest. We don't take any corporate money. We're funded through foundations and individuals. As Steven said, Voices of Internet Freedom is a network of 30 organizations representing the interests of people of color. That includes Presente.org and Color of Change and National Hispanic Media Coalition and the Media Mobilizing Project, which is actually filming this event tonight. So let me introduce Jared. So Jared is the moderator tonight. So Dr. Jared Ball is an associate professor of communication studies at Morgan State University in Baltimore. He is also the author of I Mix What I Like, a mixtape manifesto that came out in 2011. He is co-editor of A Lie of Reinvention, corrected Manny Mirabel's Malcolm X. And he also can be found on imixwhatilike.org. He's also a host here at a PFW of a show that comes on Fridays, the Super Soul Funky Power Hour, something like that.
Super Funky Soul Power
Hour. There you go. There you go. And he has great guests all the time, like, you know, the folks on stage.